Okay, let's get back in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're dealing with some of the issues down at the end of the chapter. And we'll take start up in verse 31 again. And last week we were talking about some issues of chastisement and how God chastises His people today. And we saw in verse 31, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when we come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together into condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." And we gathered from this passage some insight into how God chastens His people today. And there is a mechanism that God has out there for that when a saint falls into sin or if a saint decides to do things that are contrary to the Word of God, there are some mechanisms or devices that are employed to try and bring that saint back into proper fellowship with the saints and back into God's will with what He's doing today. And one of those things is this judging of one another through believers. And we talked at length how, you know, we've seen this a lot, how the bread is made up of all believers. And if there's a believer in the bread that's sinning, and we went through what some of the criteria are, that it's the duty of the other believers to judge that saint. And if that saint doesn't decide to leave his sin behind and change his mind towards that, those other saints are to cut him off so that way he won't infect the rest of the bread. And that's one mechanism whereby God chastens us in verse 32. "But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord." So judging one another is a chastening device that God would have believers do and use. Hang on one second. Okay. That God would have believers employ. And it helps the believer that's in sin, and it also helps the saints where the sinning believer is. So that was one way God chastens us, and that God employs to help His body stay pure and stay truthful. We saw in another section, let's go there in 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're just going to run through these real quick again and get on with things. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we see the where it says in verse 16, "For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, and for instruction in righteousness." The second way God chastens is through His Scripture. And that's actually the first way, because it's the Scripture that instructs believers to cut off when things are criteria are met. So it's the Scriptures that are first and primary designed to correct you. And as you come and as you read the Scriptures, you are to examine your life and examine your thoughts that you have. And if they're contrary to what you read, you know what you need to do? You need to bring yourself in line with the Word of God. And that's what they're designed to do. God knows that we are born sinners. He knows that we are born with failures. And He writes us His words in order to correct our thinking, in order to help us bring our mind in line with His mind. And that's exactly what the Scriptures are for. There's so many churches where you go for church and you don't even need to bring your Bible anymore. And you go there and they can have a 30-minute song fest and then a 10-minute dance recital, and then they'll have 10 minutes of worship service, and they might quote maybe one verse and nobody brings their Bible. But it's the Scriptures that are important, because it's the Scriptures and reading them that are designed to do the correction and are designed to do the reproofing in your life. And if you're not in the Scriptures, it's pretty hard to be corrected when you're not reading what you need to be reading. You understand that? That if it's like God wants to correct you, but if you don't ever come to the Word to read it, it's really hard to be corrected, because the Word is there to correct you and to reprove what you do. And you know, that's what you find is when people are in sin preferences, and you ask them, are you reading your Bible? You know what they're going to say? No, for the most part. And the reason is because they know that when they read the Bible, it's going to convict them of their sin. And they don't like that. So they put their Bible on a shelf and they don't come to it and they don't read it, because they know if they do, they're going to be pricked in their heart in regards to their sin. And therefore, they know that's going to happen, so they don't want anything to do with it. And if you're dealing with someone in a sin preference and you come to them with the Scriptures, they go, oh no, don't do that. Because they don't want to be corrected. They don't want to be reproved, because they know they can't stand up against God's will. And so they don't want to hear it. And that's pretty hard to correct them at that point, if they turn off the Scriptures. And there are people that do that. But it's the Scriptures that are designed to chasten you and to provide reproof and to provide correction in your life. And we saw that a little bit last week. And then there was another mechanism God has, and that was found in Galatians 6, verse 7. If you're not going to be obedient to the Scriptures, and if you're not going to be moved by the saints in your assembly, God says, well, if you're going to live in the world and you're going to go play in the world, you're going to reap the things of the world. And in verse 7 of Galatians chapter 6, he says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall reap of the flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit of the Spirit reap life everlasting. God says, if you're not going to listen to my word, if you're not going to listen to the saints around you, and you're going to go out in the world, there's a mechanism in the world whereby you're going to reap what you sow. And if you're going to play with the things of the world, and you're going to try and enjoy those things are going to bring death. And they will bring death in your life. And God doesn't have to bring that death into your life, because the world will do it on its own. Sin brings death all on its own without God's help. And if you're going to continue in sin, that's going to destroy you. It's going to destroy relationships. It's going to destroy everything that you hold valuable around you. That's what sin does. And God doesn't have to do anything. The worst thing God can do to you is to let you be by yourself. And that's really what this is getting to. If you aren't instructed by the Word, if you don't let other saints help you, the way he chastens you is to leave you alone. To leave you to yourself. And he says, if you want to leave my instruction, if you want to continue in the world, have at it. But God knows that if you do, he knows what the world's going to do to you. It's going to eat you up and destroy you. It's going to, you're going to reap what you sow. And really, that's probably the worst way God can chasten you. Is that if you want to be left alone, he's going to leave you alone. Now, he's going to be there waiting to bring you back when you get to your right mind. But if you want to go and live in the world and live in those sin preferences, he allows you the liberty to do that. But he also knows, though, that there's a penalty to pay for that, and sometimes it's even physical death that you bring upon yourself, though. And we've talked last time, you know, if you do drugs and you're shooting up and you're using needles, there's in the world, there's diseases that can be spread that way that could ultimately kill you. Same thing with alcohol or anything else you do. God doesn't have to make your car slam into the tree. You're going to do that on your own. If you're drinking or using drugs. Those are things that happen in the natural world. So when we talk about chastening of the Lord, we went over some of these things and talked about how it's God's Word that's there designed to help you. It's other saints that are designed to help you. And if you refuse those things, Paul writes, and we saw in let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, if you refuse those things and you just want to go live in the world, Paul says that's fine. It's not what they would want for you, but he says in 1 Corinthians 5:5, and we've talked about this saint a number of times, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the Lord Jesus. You see, if you want to go live in the flesh, and you want to go do those things. Paul says, fine, but do them over there. Just don't bring that stuff into the assembly. Do them over there. And so God says, cut them off, leave them alone, go do that there. And look, and the reason is for the destruction of the flesh. But your spirit will be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. So you're not going to lose your salvation. You're just going to lose out on the joy and the affection that you can have by living godly. It's what you're going to lose out on. And you might be thinking, oh, I'm going to have so much more fun over here, though. And God says, okay, if you want to do that. But God knows that if you do that, it's going to bring death into your life. And there's been Christian couples that have ended up in divorce. There's been Christian couples that have ended up with many, many problems because they've left the faith and they've decided to go live in the world because they think they can have the fun there too. And it ruins them. And that was never God's will for His saints. God's will for His saints is to be in the Word, is to be corrected by it, to be walking and filled with the joy and hope of the Holy Spirit, and to let His life live through you. But if you're going to refuse that, God says, I'm not going to force it on you. I'm going to let you decide what you want to do. And if you leave this, you're going to be walking with Satan, you're going to be walking in the world. And if we turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we see here where he says, verse 32, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. And you see, he says, it's the judging that is part of the chastening of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. You see, if you want to walk in a path that's contrary to Scripture, you're going to walk in a path that's been condemned, is what he's saying. If you want to leave... My throat is really bad today, and I'm really sorry. We're going to try and make it through. But if you want to leave His Word, and if you want to continue in causing division within the body, if you want to continue in the sin preferences that have ticked off, you're going to be walking in a condemnation. You're going to be walking in a path that God has already condemned. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8:1. And here he's talking, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And this verse is talking about, it's not talking about your salvation, it's talking about your walk. And if you can walk in one of two ways. You can walk in Jesus Christ, or you can walk in the world or after your flesh. You have the choice to walk in either one. But if you walk in Jesus Christ, he says there's no condemnation. But if you walk in the flesh, what's he say? There is condemnation. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So you have the choice to walk in one or the other. One of these things has been condemned, and it's been your flesh. But you know what? When you get saved, you still have your flesh with you. God didn't immediately rapture you and take you to heaven and give you your new body and everything, you know, went on to eternity from that moment. No, when you got saved, you probably looked in the mirror and you still saw yourself. And you're still here. And you still have your flesh with you. But God gives you the ability now to not walk after the flesh. Because before you're saved, you can only walk in your flesh. You can only walk in a path that's been condemned. But when you're saved, God gives life to your spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and indwells you. And now He gives you the opportunity to leave the flesh behind and walk in a path that's pleasing to God. And so he tells you in chapter 8, he's not talking about your salvation, he's talking about your experience now as being saved. Because only saved people can walk in the Spirit. Unsaved can only walk in the flesh. They don't have the choice. And what we try and do with them is, you know, so many Christians try and get unsaved people to like clean up their lives. Then what they need first is to get saved. That's the first thing they need. Not that they take soap and, you know, clean themselves up. They need to get saved first, because it's only when you're saved you have the choice then to stop walking in the flesh. And that's exactly what he's talking about here in Romans chapter 8. Let's drop down to verse 5 in Romans 8. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. As you go through your life, we have the choice to live carnally or spiritually. And a carnal Christian is one who's not going to be corrected by the Word, is one who's not going to allow God to reprove them as they read the Scriptures. It's one who's not going to listen to believers around them when they come to them with concerns about what things in their life. And a carnal Christian is going to be one that just goes back to the flesh and goes back to how they were living before they were saved. In the pride of themselves, in thinking that they know more than God. You know, there are Christians who come to the Scriptures, they read verses, they know what the verse says, but they say, I don't like that verse. Therefore, I'm not going to change my thinking and bring it in line with that. There are Christians today who want tithing. And you can, and the pastor wants tithing for his congregation, and you show him the verses where it talks about how that tithing was for Israel and the prophetic program in ages past, and how that underneath today, God loves a cheerful giver, and there's no such thing as tithing, and we're not to bring the law into here. And they see that, but you know what? They go, I don't want that. I want this. I want tithing. And you know what they're doing? They're living in the flesh. They're thinking they're wiser than God. They say, well, if I did that, I'm going to lose all the money. No one's going to give. I'm not going to be able to afford, you know, my salary or afford the building or anything like that. And therefore, they bring their own fleshly thought and reasoning against God's Word. Instead of trusting in the Word of God to provide, they don't. They go back and they think, oh, no, I need the law. And pastors do that also with their saints in your just your normal walk. They say, oh, we need to have the law to keep people from sinning. I need to have the Ten Commandments up here and have everybody look at them and read them and tell them, you better not do this, you better not do that, you better not do this, because God's going to get you. And when God's Word is very clear that we're not underneath the law. And that He has another way of us for us to deal with sin. And it's not by taking the big hammer and hitting you over the head all the time. It's His love. But you see, it's all about you coming to the Scriptures and letting God instruct you. And that's the most important thing. Because if you don't, you're going to be living after the flesh. And if you live after the flesh and if you reject the Scriptures, you're going to be living in a state of condemnation. Because you know what? Your flesh has been what? Condemned by God already. It's never been stated, your flesh has never been called great and wonderful by God. It's never been called, you know, that's really good. You know what? I saw something good. It's condemned. So if you walk in that, you're walking in a state of death. Verse 7 of Romans chapter 8. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. If you want to live carnally, you're going to be opposite of God. You cannot understand God's subject yourself properly to the law of God. Because the carnal mind is the exact opposite. That's over here. There's nothing good that can come out of the flesh. And so when you read the Scriptures, you want to put that aside. And you just want, if whatever the verses say, you take it for as it is. Verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So if you're walking in the flesh, there's no way you can please God. Now you might think, you know, well, I've got tithing, I've got some laws, you know, and because of that I can build a bigger church, I can get more people coming, and I can please God more doing it my way. No, you can't. No matter what you do in the flesh, it's not going to please God. God is only pleased when you walk in Jesus Christ, because there's no good thing in the flesh. And that's probably the hardest thing for people to come to an understanding of, is that there's nothing good in your flesh. That's really hard for people to realize. Because sometimes we like to sit there and think, oh, you know, like how smart we are. Or, you know, well, if I do it this way, if I change this verse like this, or, you know, I know God says that, but, you know, I really want to do this. But God says there's no good thing in the flesh. And it's been condemned. So when we come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when he's talking about chastening, in verse 32, the reason for chastening is that we should not be condemned with the world. The reason God chastens you is to pull you out of your flesh, is to cause you to hopefully stop walking in your flesh. Because whenever you walk in the flesh, you're walking in what? You're walking in condemnation. You're walking in a path that God has said is wrong, that God has condemned. Now that doesn't mean God's going to, as we've talked about, be striking you with lightning and giving you a flat tire on the night road on your way home. No, when he says that path is condemned, he condemned that way back in Adam and Eve. When he condemned that, that's why he told Adam, don't eat of that tree, because it brings death. But what did Adam and Eve do? They ate of that tree, and death came in. That path was condemned back then, and he says, don't walk in it. And chastening of the Lord is designed to pull you back from walking in a path that's been condemned by God. So you see, as we read verse 31 through 32 again, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. If you come to the Scriptures and you see things that are wrong in your life and you correct those things, you won't open yourself up to the judgment of others. But verse 32, but when we are judged, when we haven't examined ourselves properly and other believers have to come to us to help us, we are chastened of the Lord. And the reason for the chastening of the Lord is that we should not be condemned with the world. That we will not be walking in that path anymore, as Romans 8 instructs us. Turn over to, I think it's 1 Timothy. Hang on one second here. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. See, he's talking about saints here in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 2, or verse 1. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. And he's talking about a man that wants to be a bishop, a man that wants to step forward and take a leadership role in the assembly. And then you get down to verse 6, not a novice. Don't take someone that just got saved. Don't take someone that had very little understanding, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Now, he's talking about a saint here in 1 Timothy chapter 3. A saved person, a person that wants to step forward and take some responsibility. But Paul says that something can happen to that saint. And what is it? That saint maybe can be lifted up with pride and fall into what? The condemnation of the devil. Now, is that saying that that saint is going to fall underneath the judgment that's going to happen to the devil? No. It's going to fall into a place that's been condemned, that Satan fell into. And when Satan was lifted up with pride, God condemned that activity. And that same activity that Satan did, a saint can fall into. And it's being lifted up with pride. Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. There's a condemnation out there, a walk that's been condemned, and God says, you can fall into that. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to lose your salvation. It just means that your walk in this life isn't going to be what it should be. It's really hard to please God when you're walking in a place that's been condemned, when you're walking in the same place that the devil's walking. It's really hard to please Him when you're doing that. But God gives you the liberty to do that. When you get saved, God didn't come and forcibly, you know, rip out your flesh and now you're perfect. No, we are to grow. And we've talked a lot about how, you know, we start as babes and then you mature and the milk and the meat of the Word comes into your life and you're supposed to grow and mature and grow up in Him and become a strong saint. But if you don't, you become weak and you can even fall off into the condemnation of the devil. Turn over to First Timothy chapter 5. I mean, yeah, let's see, it was 1 Timothy 5, 6. We won't need to go. Let's just go to Galatians. Romans 14, 22. Sorry. Romans 14, 22. Talking about, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned to eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So everything we do is designed to be by faith. That's how you walk in Jesus Christ. And if you don't walk by faith, you're walking by, in your flesh, you're walking in sin. And it says, happy is he that condemneth not himself. We can condemn ourselves by the areas that we walk in. And if you're not walking by faith, if you're not walking by the Scriptures, because when you walk by faith, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Therefore, you're walking in the Scriptures, which is the same thing as walking in Jesus Christ. Anything outside of that, anything outside of walking in Him, you're going to be walking in your flesh. You're going to be walking in a path that's been condemned. And you don't want to be there. And that's the whole purpose of this chastening by God. Let's turn over to, I think we got Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. I think we were just there. Yeah, we were already. Okay, we'll read it one more time. Just be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. See, God gives you the opportunity and the liberty to sow wherever you want to. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. If you want to live after your flesh, you can. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. See, these things are up to you to choose what you want to do. Drop back down to verse 16 in Galatians chapter 5. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, all this is designed. Walking, when he says walking, that's a word for you to realize. These are decisions you make in your life. Where are you going to walk? These are your decisions. You can choose. Verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things ye would. But if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under law. You have the choice to walk in the Spirit or in the flesh. Turn back to Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, he tells us some wonderful things about our old man and our flesh, how we're supposed to view him. In verse 5, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. So Paul tells us, your old man is dead. It's been crucified with Christ. Sin has been dealt with. You don't need to follow that. Verse 8, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. So you knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. See, he tells us, your old man is dead. It's been crucified. You don't need to feel its power anymore. But now it's up to you. In verse 11, likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now he tells you, I taught you some things in Romans chapter 6:6. Don't you know your old man is dead? Verse 11, he says, now reckon it to be true. Take what I just wrote you and make it true in your life. So verse 12 can happen. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. You see, he tells you, your old man is dead. Reckon it to be true, and if when you do, you won't let sin reign in your body. But there are Christians who do let sin reign in their body because they haven't reckoned their old man dead. They haven't believed God. And they try and deal with their old man in other ways that are outside of what God tells us in Romans chapter 6. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. You see, you have the choice to yield your members, to yield your body unto unrighteousness or unto righteousness. It's up to you. The choice is yours. You can walk in condemnation, or you can walk in Jesus Christ. You can walk in unrighteousness, or you can walk in righteousness. And neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness. But you see how he writes that? He's imploring you. He says, you have this choice to make. You can walk in your old way, which God has killed and crucified, and you don't need to be brought underneath the power of that. But there are saints who still put themselves there, and they don't have to, though. Or you can yield yourselves unto God. You see, I love the word there, instrument. Neither yield ye your members as instrument. God calls you an instrument. An instrument is played by something. Okay? If I were to sit down at the piano and try and play, I don't know how to play. It would sound terrible. The piano won't be able to change how it sounds because the guy playing it is really bad. But if Beethoven sits at the piano, he can make that instrument sound what? Great. And then the piano sounds great. Well, God says we are instruments. But you know, the problem with the piano can't choose who plays it. That piano, if I sit down at the piano can't say, well, you don't know how to play, and then eject me out. The piano can't say, I only want Beethoven to play me. It has no will. It has no ability to choose. But you know what? I do. And me as being an instrument, I can choose who plays me. I can choose whether I'm going to be moved and produce the sounds of my flesh, and therefore I will produce the fruit of that flesh, or I can choose to be moved by the Holy Spirit and produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's why God calls us an instrument. But we are instruments that have the ability to choose who's going to be affecting you. And if I play that piano is going to sound terrible. It's going to produce sounds and fruit that's going to drive people crazy and want to run away from me. You know what? If you let sin play you, if you let sin dominate you, you're going to produce fruit that's going to drive people crazy and cause them to not want to be by. You're going to cause fruit that's going to bring death. But if you allow yourself to be used by God, that's why he says in verse 8, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God, you will bring forth fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, meekness, long-suffering. Those things will come out of you. Not being produced by you, but being produced by the fact that you're allowing God to do that in you. So when he talks in 1 Corinthians there about chastening, and chastening is designed to cause you not to walk in the flesh, chastening is designed to cause you to get out of that path that's been condemned, because in that path that's been condemned, you cannot produce any fruit that's pleasing unto God. Only by walking in the Holy Spirit can you. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we'll read that again and see how this all works. For if we would judge ourselves, and verse 31, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. You see how all that works together now? How you are to take the scriptures, read them, understand them, correct the things in you. If you don't, there's mechanisms whereby God employs to bring you back. And the reason he wants to bring you back is to help you not be condemned with the world. It's the purpose of this. So the purpose of communion, and as we've gone over, communion is designed to eat and drink the body of the Lord, which is found in His Word, to have fellowship with Him through the blood of the cross, And as you commune with Him through the Scriptures, you're to take those words and you're to examine your life and you're to bring your spirit and your thought in line with what He's doing. And as you do that, you will not be walking in a path that's been condemned by God. What a wonderful thing that is. How wonderful is that? But when people don't, and when people choose to neglect the Word, and when people choose to hang on to their sin, God says it's up to us to try and help them, to bring them back from a place of condemnation. To bring them back. Boy, my throat's really dying. To bring them back. And to help them not walk. Because this is not a good place to be. This is not a, you know, for some people might say, oh, look at them. They're really living a good life. They got money, they got friends, they got it all going. But you know, they really don't. And you don't look at things on the outside. You can't look at things through the eyes of the flesh. You look at things through the Spirit, through faith. And you know that, hey, they might, that church, that building, those group of people might seem to have it all, but there's really no life there. And one day, that sin that they're employing will overtake them and destroy everything around them. But it's up to us to try and bring them back if we can, as we have possibility. So as we read verse 32, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. And that condemnation is one that it's not a special condemnation. It's not a new condemnation. It's one that's been there since Adam and Eve. It's one that's been there since the devil fell. When the devil fell in pride, that was condemned. God says, don't fall into the same condemnation as the devil. It's not a new one. It's not something God has to do when you sin. It's just something that He condemned in ages past. And He's writing to you, don't do that. You don't have to fall into that. Turn over to Galatians chapter 6. It's our duty as members of the body of Christ. That's Galatians chapter 5. We'll just look at this for a second. We've looked at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And he talks about verse 16 down through 26. There's this battle between the flesh and the Spirit. And there's some fruits of the flesh, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. And we've talked, and these things will happen if you're in the flesh. But verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Verse 25. But if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. See, Galatians chapter 5, he sets up this battle between your flesh and the Spirit, and how you can choose which way you're going to walk in. And sometimes when we choose the wrong and we choose to walk in the flesh, that's where Galatians chapter 6 verse 1 kicks in. And he said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, if a man has chosen to walk in the flesh, if a man has chosen not to walk in the Spirit, and ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. If a man be overtaken, if a man, in Galatians chapter 5, just sets up this great dichotomy, this great war between the flesh and the Spirit. And sometimes there are saints who will choose wrong. There are saints who will choose to walk in that condemned path. And Galatians chapter 6 is written there to say, hey, if that happens, brethren, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. It's our duty to judge each other. It's our duty to employ God's Word. It's our duty to try and restore them, to bring them back from this walk of condemnation. See, we are never to cut people off. We are never to chasten people with the idea of thinking that they're totally lost. Oh, they're never going to come around. No, it's our hope and prayer that we can eventually restore them. And that's God's will for His saints. So God's will is that all saints walk in Jesus Christ. And if you don't, and if you walk in the flesh, you know what God's will for you still is? That you be restored and walk back in Jesus Christ. That's wonderful to know. God never turns His back on you. No matter where you find yourself in life, and if you've got sin in your life, and it's cost you your family, and it's cost you fellowship with the assembly, and it's cost you your job, and it's cost you your house, and it's cost you your clothing, and you're just a complete bum. You know what God's will for you is? If you're saved, well, to get saved, but if you're a sinning saint that's done all that, God's will is still for you. It's still to have you restored back to what He made you to be when you got saved. That's wonderful. God's back is never turned to you. And God's will is that there are mature saints that are there ready to take you back. And that's why Galatians chapter 6 is written. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, if a man's been condemned, if he's walking in a path that's been condemned, if he's walking in that condemnation of the devil, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. How wonderful is that? God's got a plan for everything. He does. I mean, one of the reasons I like studying the Scriptures is because God's left nothing out. He's got a plan whereby how to get saved. He's got a plan what happens when you get saved. You're put in the bread. He's got a plan to keep that bread pure. He's got a plan that, hey, if there's saints that sin, He's got a plan to help them. And if they refuse that help, He's got a plan for that. But when they come around and they want that help, He's got a plan for that. I think it's just fascinating. There's nothing that's been forgotten. There's nothing that's missing. And Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 is a wonderful verse when dealing with chastisement. If a man be overtaken in a fault, well, he's got to see his fault first. And hopefully the Scriptures and the saints can make him see that fault. And then it's the duty of those mature saints to bring him back. And it says, ye which are spiritual, that's not just for elders, that's just not for bishops, that's just not for the big guys in the church. Everybody should be spiritual in their life. I don't care who you are. You know, sometimes, you know, I was like this years ago. You know, you look at your pastor and you're sitting there and you're thinking, boy, I can never do the things he does. He knows so much more than I do. I can never, you know, do any of that stuff. And that's wrong. This verse in Galatians chapter 6 doesn't say this is only for pastors or this is only for elders. This is sometimes the guy sitting in the pew knows far more than the pastor. Just because the guy's got PhDs and he can quote a verse here and there doesn't mean he understands the Scriptures. And sometimes the person who isn't elevated in the church actually has more understanding because they've been more obedient unto God's Word and they've let it affect their life. And that should be you. Each one of us should be spiritual. So when you see a brother or a sister or a saint fall into sin, hopefully you would feel confident, and you should, to help them. Sometimes you say, well, I don't know all the verse. Hey, if you understand that walking in the flesh is condemned and that's wrong, sometimes that's all you need to know. That's far more than most people. And if you go to them and say, hey, you know what? What you're doing is you're walking in something that God has condemned, that God has said is wrong. Why are you doing that? You're helping that saint. And it's incumbent on all of us to do that. And I really think that's really neat that God would have, ye that are spiritual, it's all of us fall into this category or should, to help those, to restore them. And that's to bring them back to where they were. Turn over to, what is it, 2 Timothy? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25. This is the attitude you have in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Those that oppose themselves. As you try and help saints that are walking in the flesh. See, they're opposing who God made them to be. They're opposing who they are in Jesus Christ. See, we have the ability, like I said, to choose how you're going to walk. But if you walk in the flesh, you're opposing the fact that God's crucified your flesh. Why are you going to do that? Why would you? And he tells us in verse 25 that we should be instructing those, helping those saints that are doing that. If God peradventure will give them repentance, the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You see, these people that are walking in the flesh are walking in a path. They're walking after Satan. It's Satan's will to cause us to walk in the flesh, because that's what Satan did originally. Satan walked in his flesh. Satan chose to walk it after the manifestation of his own heart. And God says, don't do that. And it's up to us that are spiritual to try and help these saints recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him. So saints can walk after the devil. Saints can walk in this path of condemnation. And it's up to those that are spiritual to employ the tools that God gives us to help them. And those tools are the Word of God. Those tools are cutting off. Those tools are giving them up and hoping that the world causes them to hit that wall and to become so devastated that we can be there to help restore them. That's how it all works. And so when we come back, we'll end here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But when we are, verse 32, but when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. It's not God's will that we're condemned in the world. It's God's will that His saints work together for the unity of the bread. Turn back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. This is His will, verse 8. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. That's what God would have us to do as assembly of saints. Is to keep the feast, is to keep the communion, is to keep the eating and drinking of His Word and His blood, keeping that pure. That's His Word. That's His will. And if saints don't want to do that, we can employ some things to try and help them, to bring them back, so that way we can keep this feast. And don't get caught up in the mind thought that, you know, we've talked about this, the unity at all costs. God doesn't say keep the feast with malice and wickedness, because we don't want to lose them. They might get mad at us. No. God's will is always for the betterment of the saint. Don't ever forget that. God's will is always for the betterment of the sinning saint and of the saint that's spiritual. His will is always for you. He always knows what's best for you. And sometimes it might seem hard, but His will is for us. And what a wonderful thing that is to know. So we're going to finish up this chapter next week. We'll get down to verse 33 and 34, wrap up a couple of things in there, and then go through it one more time. And as we read it one last time, hopefully your mind will be like, wow, yeah, I remember this goes there, this goes there. And you see how much was in this chapter. And that's what, you know, sometimes whenever you read the Scriptures, sometimes I read a couple different ways, but sometimes when you read down, your mind can hardly get through 4, 5, 6 verses without having all these other things come into your head, because there's so much information there that God would want us to know. But here in verse 32, but when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Don't walk in a path that's been condemned by God. And if you are, realize that path is wrong. Realize that path is condemned. Realize you don't have to, because your old man's been crucified and he shouldn't have the power over you that you're giving him. And let your body be an instrument for the Holy Spirit and for God's will. So let's close in a word of prayer here. Dear Lord, we just thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the light that it brings. We thank You for the instruction. We pray that the people that have heard this will examine their lives. They will bring every thought and deed into Your will, and let the Holy Ghost work in their life and provide them with the joy and the power that He's there to provide us. And may we realize that when we walk in the flesh in any way, whether it's in pride or drunkenness or in any way, may we realize that that's a walk that You condemned and that You don't want Your children walking in that. And we would make those choices in our life to stop those activities, to realize that that type of life is dead, that Your blood paid for those sins, and that we can be children of You walking in the light of Your Word. In Your name, amen.
I have a question on that.